Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
Well, thank you for being here tonight. I am looking forward to some of what is tomorrow chapel at CMA, and I was kind of working on some of what I wanted to do at chapel, and I thought, man, that's for tonight. And I don't know if you ever do that, but you work on something, you don't expect to do it right then, but you're like, okay, that's got to be for the church. That's where we're at, and I'll talk to the students about it a little deeper tomorrow, but if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 16, here's the title of tonight's sermon is What's Next? What's Next? A lot of what we're doing in life is we're looking forward to what the next is. And I don't know, I know for seniors, they're looking for Saturday at CMA and whatever school, you're looking for the day after graduation. And they think they've got things, come on, all of you that's already been through, they think they got it all figured out. Like, I know what next is. I know what next is. And some are like, I'm a little apprehensive. And here's the thing. I think we get caught up on what's next, what the next season is in our life, what the next business opportunity is, what the next whatever. You fill in the blank. The next house, the next job, the next car. And we are always looking forward to the next. And I get that. But I want to know what God says about next. I want to know what God says about where we as his people are to be in life. Mark chapter 16, Jesus is speaking here in verse 15, and here's what he says. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They'll cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new languages. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Let's stop there for a second. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, here's what you do. Here's what happens in my kingdom, and here's what I'm training you to know. This is what happens. Go everywhere. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Verse 19, let's keep reading. When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven, set down in the place of honor at God's right hand, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. So Jesus had been with them, and he was now in his resurrected form, and he's going and he's going to go do what God's called him to do by sitting at the right hand of the Father and doing what we can't do, having direct access now because of Jesus. And he says, here's what you do. Hey, guys, here's your next. Here's your next. It's very cool. What they had to be sitting there thinking is, oh, man, that's our next. I mean, they had the Word of God in their life. Jesus had been there talking to him. He was the Word. So he was talking, and he was going to confirm his Word that came out of their mouth wherever they went by miraculous signs. Now, we are to be doing the same thing because we're disciples. And a lot of times we think, well, that's just the preacher's word. That's just the pastor's job. And what I'm telling you is the disciples weren't operating in, per se, that capacity. He was talking to disciples everywhere. Here's what you do. You go preach the word. And here's what happens when you do that. The actions that you are preaching about will be followed by miraculous signs. Probably not the commencement message you hear a lot. What's your next? Preaching the word and living what you preach. Now I want to talk about that for 25 minutes. Jesus himself said to students in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. So what's my next step? What's next? Disciples went everywhere, it says. They went everywhere. They didn't really go everywhere. They didn't come here. They went everywhere. Where is everywhere? Everywhere you are is where everywhere is. So wherever you'll find yourself is your everywhere. And I think we get caught up on, I need to go over here, I need to go over here, I need to be in this country, I need to be, you know, in your whole lifetime, you can't be everywhere. Right. So you have to understand what that's talking about. Everywhere is everywhere you find yourself being. What's your next? I don't know, but wherever your next is, here's what you do in that next. Wherever you're going. And you got to understand that wherever it is, it's sharing the word. Sharing the word, share the word, and sometimes use words. Yeah. Think that through. We've got to be living out what God called us to do, and he called us in his word to live a certain way. I'll give you some scriptures today to help some of you. What do I do now that I'm in my next season? What about when I get to my next season, what am I going to do? 1 Corinthians 7:17, this is not a message just for seniors. You've got to understand, this is a message because we're always having a next in life. You're having a next place that you've got to be thinking about. 1 Corinthians 7:17, each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. This is very, very deep, and I want you to understand it tonight. Where you are is where God is going to use you. You don't have to try to, okay, I just got saved. I'm now going to follow God for my life. And if you're living for him, you need to see how important it is for you to live for him right where you are. And let me say it like this, right where you were before you started following him. Right. It's the most impactful thing you could ever do. We've got a lot of people get saved and think, okay, now I need to quit everything and go over here. No, you stay right where you are and you live different than you did the day before. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 7, keep reading in verse 18. For instance, a man who was circumcised before he became a believer should not try to reverse it. Which I don't know how you do that anyway. Sorry, that shouldn't have even been said. And the man who was circumcised when he became a believer should not be circumcised now. For it makes no difference whether or not a man has been circumcised. The important thing is you keep God's commandments. Right. Important thing is you keep living for God. Yes, each of you should remain as you were when God called you. What I see that means is when you're born again and decide to follow Christ, you follow him right where you are. You still get up and go to work, but you got to follow Christ where you are. You're a new creation in him. When you're born again, you've got to understand so many people start thinking, well, I need to change my life here and here and here. And maybe you need to change things in your life, but you change what you say and how you act wherever you are or wherever you have been. The word and actions. The Jewish leaders, here's the thing. You have to understand, what was he dealing with here in Corinth? The Jewish leaders would tell the Gentiles when they were born again that they had all these requirements of the law that they needed to change how they lived and what they were doing. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do all these things to fulfill what God wants. Let's keep reading in verse 21. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you, but if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you're now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you're now a slave of Christ. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by the world. Each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. Boy, he just keeps saying this and keeps saying this. And I want you to see that we aren't to be a slave based on world's bondage. We're to live free in whatever capacity we find ourselves in. Whatever job, wherever you are, you don't just leave your family because they all aren't saved. Some people think that. You got to use some sense here. And sometimes that's tough in our world. If you're a welder and you get saved, stay a welder. If you're a truck driver, stay a truck driver. Now, if you're a drug dealer, we probably need to talk about that one. But see, use some sense here. What he's saying here is that you don't need to start to adhering to a bunch of religious changes, quit your job, leave your family, places is what's going on. No, right where you are, let others see that your next is with Jesus. They should see Jesus over everything else you're doing. Here's one of the things that happens a lot of times. We ask people, so what do? Very seldom when you ask someone that, do they say, well, I follow Christ. But let your words be few and let your actions line up with the word. And a lot of times they're going to see that. There's something different about that person. Because they should see Jesus over everything else. Wherever you're planted. Now, when I say you need to stay where you are, please hear me. If you're a senior, and I'm talking about this at school tomorrow, please don't take that I'm saying after you graduate that you still need to show up at school at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. There are next as far as where you find yourself after a graduation, but life moves you to the next based on seasons, but don't ever let life move you spiritually to the next without Jesus being more. Let's talk about this. Whoever you're trying to figure out, whatever you're trying to figure out, and you start getting confused. I don't know. I just don't know what to do next. I just don't know. I can look back and I was thinking of so many of Michelle and I's different seasons of life, places we've lived. And man, we just thought the next place we're going to live will be out here. And we had a house over at Jamesville. And I'm telling you, it took years to sell that house, and we were ready for it to happen tomorrow. And we pray about it, and God, I'm leaving this to you. And he taught me to be real content wherever I was and to continue to grow in him regardless of where you're at. And what he really taught me is go back to the root of your calling. Go back to the root of your calling. Well, what's that? Well, we read it right at the beginning. Preach the word of God. Use as few words as you can. Preach it through your actions. Just keep living. Stay faithful. Stay in. Don't give up, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of life that happens. And the best Bible many will read isn't based on what they see in the natural. It's what they see in you that's supernatural. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. A lot of scripture tonight. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Well, I'm just kind of curious. How's life going for you? I'm glad you asked. I'm ready to explain it. I can't even tell you how great it is. See, wherever you are. And a lot of people will just take that question, how's things going in your life, and they'll relate it to where their season is. Well, I've just graduated. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, we just got into some major debt. I wished I wouldn't have. And see, we're going to look at outward circumstances of life instead of, wait, let me tell you what's going on in the heart. God's done a work here. There are some things that should not change. Now, they should grow, but they shouldn't change. Being in your Bible and continuing to live according to it should never change. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Talking about telling someone about what's going on in your life. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. There is a gentle and respectful way to talk about the Lord. And there are times you're talking to a complete heathen, and you got to be careful. I mean, I have really, really tried not to be that fire and brimstone preacher that says, you better get it right or you're going to hell. There's not anything real gentle about that, and there's for sure not respect there. We've got to be able to explain our faith in a way that might encourage someone else to live it. That's what I read here. Instead of having an attitude, y'all are going to hell and you deserve it. Well, wait a minute here. That may be true, but that doesn't reach people. How am I supposed to act? How do I do what you're saying, Pastor? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find, get this word, common ground with everyone, doing everything that I can to save some. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. That's how you talk. You try to find some common ground, something we can actually talk about. Weak doesn't mean sin, by the way. It just means different or even lesser, an area that they struggle, let's say it like that. There's an area of struggle. But that doesn't mean sin. So you don't go in and try to share in their sin. You share in their struggle. Now, I get along with people. I can relate to people. But there are people who I don't share in their struggles. I'm not dealing with what they just dealt with. Right. Come on, you fill in the blank. Someone has someone that goes through a season that you're not at yet, or you're at a right. That they're going through some struggles that you've never struggled in that area. Well, how do I do that? You do that with compassion and love. You may not understand it. You may not have lived it, but you can go and love them in their struggle. And sometimes just going and saying, hey, I want you to know I was thinking about you and praying for you. That's one of the areas that you can have some common ground with people on. I've never heard anybody going through some real struggling that was a heathen that I said, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. He says, don't pray for me. I'm a heathen. They don't say that. They say, well, thank you. So why don't we try that? Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Just some ways that you can continue to be in what God's called you to be in, and then pray for them. Really pray. You'll continue in life to have growth in the Lord if you'll continue to live His word and don't live it by saying a bunch of words. Just live it by doing, being a doer of the word. Here's what happens. In all of life, you got to see some areas of growth that start happening. What's next? What's next? Well, in the Lord, there's growth that's next. And it's not related to the next season of life. It's related to what I'm doing in every season. Right. See, I'm going to continue to grow. And here's what you start looking for in your growth. Number one, higher levels of faith in your daily walk. And the second thing you look for is a deeper intimacy with God. Higher levels of faith and deeper intimacy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Church, you need to understand this. Your faith can grow. Your faith can grow. And you can know that when your faith grows, it will also be seen by others who are in the faith. Well, I'm just watching your faith grow. I'm just watching your faith grow. Verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions, tribulations that you endure. Faith grows, now hear this, through your frustrations in life. Real encouraging. I hear people all the time, they get overwhelmed because of their next. See, they're at a place they've never been before, and all of a sudden they're overwhelmed. Welcome to the next. In the next, I promise you, there'll be things that try to overwhelm you and get you. Those are the frustrations, the persecutions, the tribulations. What do you do in those? You endure them. And you keep living the word every day, all the time. Why? Because it's in that that your faith will grow.
That's right.
I know that graduation is a fun time. And what's fun about it is I'm completing this and I never have to show up at 8 a.m. again. Or 8:30 or whatever time your school starts. I mean, I couldn't have told you. I was more thrilled about graduation than about anything I ever had in my whole life. It was thrilling. I couldn't wait to get out. And then very shortly thereafter, I realized that bills were real. And mom and dad didn't pay for them all. And I hear people getting overwhelmed. Maybe it's bills. Maybe it's time. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to do all of it. I'm telling you, you better maintain your faith, because when I hear people talk about, especially young people, getting overwhelmed at where they're at, I'm like, just wait. You don't have a clue. You have no reason to be overwhelmed right now. Well, wait a minute here. Just because you overcame doesn't mean that they're still not in a season of frustration. So I've had to be careful about that, because I can real quick roll my eyes at young people going, oh, I just can't believe it. I don't have time to do anything. I'm like, you don't even have kids yet. You have no idea. Try grandkids and them wanting you to watch them. Not saying it's not fun, but good grief. When you're in your 50s and you got six of them running everywhere, it's like, slow down. Don't run that fast. I went bike riding with them the other day. They're starting to get pretty fast. I kept up. I got a bike and it's got a battery. People get overwhelmed in seasons of life. And you got to know that overwhelming will happen in every season, but you have the power to get through it. It's called faith. Faith in God. He's not going to give you something that you can't handle through him. Now, you'll have some things you can't handle in and of yourself, but your faith will grow and get you through it. Yeah. You got to know. Scripture says endure hardships. They will come. They will come. You read that all through. Hardships are going to come. Don't be surprised by these fiery trials. I mean, there's so many scriptures that just start coming to mind. But we're like, oh my goodness, can you believe what's going on in my life? I can. The Bible actually said those things would happen. But they don't have to get you. Just let your faith grow, because if you'll endure through that, I'm telling you, you'll get the other side of it, then someone else will talk about it, and guess what you can do? You can go over, and you can be with them in their weakness. Did you hear all? Yeah. Boy, how scripture just starts coming alive. Always know this, there's three encounters to faith. Three encounters to faith. Number one, you hear things, you hear it. The second one is you see it. And the third one is you experience it. As your faith grows, you start recognizing that there are actually levels of faith that you can get to that you don't even have right now. And so I've always got something to grow in. And there are ways that I'm going to encounter faith in my life. I'll either hear it, I'll see it, or I'll experience it. Jesus was amazed at some of the common people, if you will, that their faith. He was like, I'm amazed by this. A couple of different stories. I just read one of them because you've probably heard this one. But Jesus was talking about a man who wasn't even a Jew. He wasn't even a Jew. He's a centurion. And that's someone that's kind of high up in ranks in the Roman military. And Luke 7, let's just read this, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. That time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer was sick and near death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people. He even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such an honor. I'm not even worthy to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turned to the crowd that was following him, and he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to his house, they found the slave completely healed. This guy is like, come on, Jesus, I'm just telling you. I know that you can do it. My faith will tell me because I understand some things about authority. And since you are the one that's over all of this, I have faith that you can take care of this. Jesus is like, that's some big faith in me. That's some big faith. And you know why he believed? Because he had experienced hearing. He had heard about Jesus. He had heard, that's all. He had just heard about him. And he had faith based on just hearing. You want to grow in your faith, you better keep hearing and keep hearing and keep hearing. Well, I've heard this story before. I know. How'd it do for you tonight? It gave you some more hearing. And as you keep hearing and you keep hearing and you keep hearing, the word goes out, faith will grow. Faith will grow for you. Thomas in John 20, verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came, and they told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them, place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," Jesus said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas explained. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you see me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." "Well, I'm just waiting to see God move. I'm waiting for God. I'm just waiting to see." Let me tell you, one of the experiences of faith, and the best one you'll ever get a hold of, is hearing. But we've got those that I just got to see it. I just got to see it. And see, there are levels of faith that have to start with hearing. And they'll move into seeing. And praise God, they'll be an experience. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. "We, God's people, have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure," there we go, "many trials for a little while." Look what's said here. You and I have an inheritance in heaven. It's guarded by the very power of God. Our inheritance is God. Boy, I'm telling you, this scripture is great for someone who's doubting. "Well, I just don't know if I'm really saved. I think I may have lost myself. I don't know. I don't know if I'll get to go to heaven." I'm telling you, your salvation, when you accept and believe in what God did, your experience that you will one day have in heaven is guarded by the very power of God. It's through your faith that you'll access the inheritance. So if you go, "Well, I just don't know. I just don't know if I'm..." Well, how do I get access to knowing? Your faith. Yeah. It's your faith. And that's one of those little trials. That's one of those little things that you've got to endure. The enemy trying to make you doubt your salvation. Endure that and know that you're not doing anything to guard what God has gone to prepare for those that love him and are called and believe and operate as. It's not based on what you do and don't do. It's guarded. You can't do enough to get it. The only activity you have in this whole thing is confession of your mouth, a belief in your heart, and a confession with your mouth, and a belief in your heart, and a confession with your mouth. "Well, I just don't know." Well, what do I do? "Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that you are Lord and you are saved." See, every next, you better have that confession and belief going with you. Because every next will have its own hardships and trials. Every next. And you got to figure out how to endure it and how I can stay even though I've went to a new season. I'm not leaving what God's called me to do. It doesn't give you a free ticket to do whatever you want. It gives you ability to put to death all the bad things that are trying to take you. You and I haven't seen heaven yet, but we believe there is one. We believe there is one. You haven't seen it. You haven't experienced it, but you're believing that you will. Keep building your faith for it, because through life you'll have people try to discredit that God even is real. The enemy wants everything he can do to get you to quit living like God has an inheritance for you. You have an inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. These trials that we all experience will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it brings you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him. Come on, that's our, we love him. Passionately, we love him. Even though you've never seen him. Though you don't see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you and I. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. I want to challenge you today. Don't in your next leave what you chose to believe to start with. There'll be a temptation that the enemy tries to throw out there that this isn't working for you. And there's something you can probably do that's better. Don't leave what you chose to believe. I've seen this way too many times in people's next. I've seen people so thrilled and excited for what God did that they're just like, I'm in. I'm in. I'm wholehearted. I'm in. And I've watched that for some reason fade away. Like their necks took them to a place that I wish they'd have never been. I've watched so many young people that their next was college, and I watched them leave what God said stay. I've seen it, and I've seen it, and I've seen it. And we need to be living out who and what God said we are, wherever we are. Believe, and believe more, and grow in your faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Church, hear me today. Whatever your next is, faith is important. Faith is important. It's an element that I'm asking you, grow in, don't grow stagnant in, because faith needs to be present in every season of life. It's got to be there for you to experience what is necessary to get through the trials and hardships. Otherwise, overwhelm is yours, and you will get overwhelmed. And then you won't know what to do or where to go, and you'll be defeated. When you start experiencing faith, a lot of people want to make it for the next trial or for the next thing, but it's in the next trial or whatever you're going through that faith grows. Well, I'm having faith to get through that. Okay, that's great. That's the endurance part of it. But know this, if you'll endure through it and you'll let it grow through it, then whatever the next is can't get you. Fruits of the Spirit start becoming who you are and what you are. I'm just telling you, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all the things God said are ours, gentleness, self-control when you want to go out and whoop somebody. I just don't know how you're doing that. I don't know how you're doing that. I just don't understand how you're doing that. It's through faith. So what do you do? What do you do? Well, I'm a welder, but while I'm welding, I pray for people. I believe God for everything that's going on. I experience his love. I have some patience. I have some kindness. Man, you're just so gentle. How are you so gentle? Well, I know what you're going through. Let me tell you about Jesus. What do you do? I serve Jesus. Every day of my life, forever. It'll produce heaven one day. But right now, it's producing a lot of things that I couldn't have had without him. Boy, what's your next? I don't know. Everybody's got a next. You'll have to get a new car at some point. You're believing God for the next house and for this one to sell. I've been there. I'm just overwhelmed I just don't know how I can make both payments right. You don't even know what overwhelmed is. Don't say that. Go. That's an area of disturbance, an area of frustration. Hey, let me pray with you about that. I'm going to pray for you about that. Let's join in and let's be ready to explain our faith. Did you get all this? I'm just going back and continue. This is the greatest commencement message you'll ever hear. Because all of us have a next.
That's right.
And don't leave God in your next.
That's right.
Continue to preach and use as few words as possible.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.